This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Starting off the Q&A, inshallah, Mufti, I'd like to ask a question that I've gotten, which is, there's a brother, he married this sister, and while them being married, the sister has been living alone for some time, 2 years. And now what's happened is, the brother doesn't really want to do anything with that relationship. He doesn't want to divorce her, he's just leaving her there. So she's kind of in a situation where she's in limbo. She feels as if she's married to the guy, but at the same time, it's not a proper marriage. What can you advise in a situation like this?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I think what's important for us to know is that women, they actually do have rights that they don't know of sometimes. So if, for example, the brother is not fulfilling the rights of the sister, like he's not living with her and a long time has passed, or he is not providing for her and a long time has passed, she can actually apply, if she wishes and if she has not been able to resolve the matter, she can apply to nullify that particular marriage in something known as a fasakh, right? So that nullification will have to be done by the ulama, perhaps in the area that she lives in. Like here, you have the council, I think it's called the Sharia Council. What's it called? The Sharia Council, Islamic Sharia Council, they can actually nullify the nikah. So even if the brother does not cooperate with them, after a period of time, they will issue a nullification. That nullification is worth one irrevocable talaq, which means that she will be divorced from him in a way that if he wants to get back to her, they would have to have a new nikah done with her approval. So there is a way out. When the rights of a woman are not being fulfilled, she has, if she cannot solve the problem and he is being arrogant or he does not want to issue the talaq, she can apply for that and she will be awarded it, especially if your council in your locality knows exactly what they're doing. And as time is passing and we're becoming more and more advanced, the councils are also becoming a little bit more advanced and they're doing, processing time is becoming less and inshallah it's more effective. Yeah.
Jazakallah khairan, Sheikh. Brothers and sisters, we'll start off the Q&A inshallah. We'll give the first mic to the brother here at the front, mashallah. Brother, what is your name and what is your question for the Sheikh, inshallah?
Yes, Akhi. My question, you've mentioned about the relationship between a parent and child. What is the role of a sibling? What should they be doing?
Jazakallah khair. The role of a sibling. I think the siblings, it's a very important question. The siblings need to support. They need to support what is right in terms of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained. So if, for example, you have your brother, your sister wants to do something, your parents are not permitting it to happen, for example, and you know that your parents are wrong, you should very respectfully guide your parents. So with us, we're taught that our parents are owed respect to the degree that we're not allowed to disrespect them. But that doesn't mean we have to agree with everything that they are doing. So if they're wrong, you can respectfully highlight to them that they are wrong. Another very interesting issue about a sibling, we have a culture, I think we can hear some of the sisters speaking into the mic at the back there. We have a culture that the eldest must marry first. That's a culture that is un-Islamic. It has nothing to do with Islam. It's just a culture. It makes life difficult for those who are younger who want to marry before the older person. So your siblings, you need to make sure that you teach your parents if they do not know, or you encourage them if they are just worried about what people will think, that you know what, if my brother or sister who is younger than me would like to get married and I'm not yet married, then you can actually have their marriage prior to ours. And the culture that actually makes it prohibited would have to be sidelined. Although, obviously, by nature, it is better to have the older marrying first, but it's not a condition and it's not necessary. Jazakumullah khair. If I can pause for a moment, we can actually hear the sisters speaking into the mic. The sister who has the microphone at the back, can you hold it away from you? Because it is distracting us, inshallah. Okay.
Jazakallah khairan, Sheikh. Also, if I could ask all of the brothers and the sisters to settle down, inshallah, as we have started this segment, and it is from the correct adab to settle down and to listen, inshallah, when everything is taking place. To continue, I think we'll take a question from the sisters now, because we took one from the brothers.
Can you hold this, please?
Sister, if you can say your name and your question, inshallah.
My name's Iman, and I have a question about your Iman. So my question is, what does one do when their Iman decreases so much that when they're praying, like, you feel empty, like the connection isn't as there as it was before with Allah? Like, how do you go about rectifying that and getting it back?
Okay, sister, the question is not related to our topic, but still I will take it, because one might argue that it is, in the sense that if your iman is weak, perhaps, you know, you might create issues for yourself in your relationships, etc. I think it has approach from various angles based on your own surroundings and what has caused that. Generally, if you declutter your mind, if you try your best to remove from your mind and heart that which is unnecessary and that which is holding you down, then it will help you develop your relationship with Allah. When that happens, you develop your relationship with people around you who are strong in their iman, or at least they will encourage you in that direction. When the circle of your friends is not bothered about the deen or Allah or what's right and wrong or their duties unto Allah, generally it will become easier for you to turn away from Allah or to become distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if those around you all give it the importance, they enthusiastic about it, you know, they support you, encourage you, they have good words, then it would actually help you also to fulfill what you have to with enthusiasm and iman. Similarly, when you have a reminder every now and again from someone or a source that would actually be of motivation to you, the motivation actually helps. At the time of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they used to actually go and say, let's increase our iman for an hour. You know, by listening to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the Sahaba, or by learning something and increasing that particular motivation that they had. Once you're motivated, you need to act upon it almost instantly, because like today, we heard something. If we don't act upon the good of it, it's going to diminish over a period of time. They say within 48 hours, if you haven't acted upon something motivational, perhaps it's going to die down without you doing anything about it in any way. So it's important for us to listen to that which motivates us, also to increase your remembrance of Allah. Because the remembrance of Allah definitely will impact upon you. There is one problem we have when we don't speak the Arabic language. We tend to pay lip service to a dhikr without thinking of what it means. So we say Alhamdulillah without actually considering that it actually means all praise is due to Allah. Praise be to Allah. So if you were to remember Allah in a way that the words you are uttering, the meaning of them are close to your heart, in that way you would be able to inshallah help yourself with your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, I have found that seeking the forgiveness of Allah actually draws you closer to Allah, and being convinced that Allah has forgiven you, that is a very powerful point. If you are convinced within yourself that I've done wrong but Allah has forgiven me because I sought forgiveness of Allah genuinely, it makes you feel like you're a clean person. It makes you feel like, you know, you have hope and so on. So this would motivate you to do more for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What I've mentioned, these are just some tips regarding developing yourself, your iman, your relationship with Allah. But the topic is very, very vast.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. We'll answer this question because some of the sisters, they may be shy to come up and actually ask the question in the mic. So we have a written question here. Sheikh, I must warn you, this is a question that will probably be very, very beloved to the hearts of many of the sisters. The question is, what is the guidance on adding a clause in the nikah contract, i.e. my husband cannot marry another woman whilst he is married to me?
I think it's a sign of insecurity, to be honest with you. You know, we should be so confident with ourselves and our iman and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our relationships that as much as some might argue, there are two opinions. You know, some of the scholars say it's allowed because it's up to you. And some of them say, well, it's not allowed because it goes against the very grain of the reason of getting married. So that fiqhi jurisprudence argument is in its place. I don't want to side with any one of them, but I would believe that, you know, I found people then doing things behind the backs of their wives. I'm one who doesn't promote or demote something of this nature, meaning if a person marries again or not, it totally depends on them, their situation, their surroundings, their environment, whether it's feasible or not. I've seen really, really beautiful homes shredded to pieces and totally destroyed because of another marriage. And I've seen others where it has brought so much of goodness and support and love that it's unbelievable, you know. So I'm no one to promote or demote. I don't know your particular situation. You might just be diving into something that's going to mess the rest of your life. So you need to actually think very deeply. You need to have built, you know, the whole situation. You cannot just come home one day and say, that's it, it's happening, you know. So putting a clause is a little bit tricky. I cannot really, I don't even want to encourage that, because if that's the case, you know, we might have another 20 clauses to put sometimes, and, you know, people will start adding all sorts of clauses. But like I said, from a jurisprudence perspective, there is difference of opinion whether it is a valid clause or not a valid clause. So if the guy really wants to do it, he's going to tell you, listen, according to such and such a scholar, it's not even a valid clause. So there you go. I think, like I said, it's a sign of insecurity. I mean, you might disagree with me. I really don't mind. Because, you know, it's just my opinion. It may be a sign that, you know, if I were to put a clause to say, you cannot do that, you know, I think it would say a lot about me. I'm so insecure that I really feel that I'm not, you know, this might happen and so on. But look, at the end of the day, you know your situation. People might want to add it for whatever reason. If the guy's agreed, he comes to us, then asking us another ruling to say, am I allowed to break the clause? You know, what are the damages? What would happen? And like I say, there is a sickness that I can talk about, totally away from this. Society sometimes is more forgiving when it comes to something haram than when it comes to halal. And that's actually a trap of the devil. So when it comes to something haram, people are quick to say, well, it's okay, it's fine, you know, he did this and it's okay. It's okay with you, but was it okay with Allah? And then sometimes when something is okay with Allah and not okay with society, society really is unforgiving. They say, no way, it's not happening. And I think we need to deal with our own iman. I think we need to deal with our own situation, connection with Allah. The problem we're facing, and I can tell you a reality, a lot of guys out there, they haven't lived a proper life with their own spouses. They haven't shown that they're loving and kind and supportive and so on. And yet they're busy, you know, trying to look into other avenues of increasing the number of wives they have when they haven't even proven themselves as a person or as a good husband in the case that is there. Some people use that as an excuse to say, well, you know what, how are you going to do justice to them when you haven't even done justice to one? Sometimes it's just a statement they say in order to get out of it. But what we definitely should know is, and I'm going back to what I started with, I cannot give you a ruling to say, guys, do it or don't do it. It all depends on a situation. It's not something farad. Remember that. It all depends on your situation, your you know, environment, your family, your surroundings, everything around you. That might make it the biggest mistake in your life, or it might be the best thing you've ever done. So that's what it is. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us in a way that people don't need to make conditions when marrying, but rather in a way that people trust us so much that we will be the most loving, most kind people. And I challenge you. You know, I always tell myself, a few moments ago I was signing some books and I felt so hurt in my heart to tell some of the sisters that, sisters, I've got to stop here. Because the word stop actually, you know, is such that it hurts people. It hurts people when you cut off something, when you stop something good, you know. And I was feeling, let me try and be the best person I can. But sometimes while trying to be the best person, you get trampled all over. And some of the best of us, we struggle and suffer emotionally because we allow everyone to walk all over. And when we try to stand up for ourselves for the first time, we're looked at as the bad ones. It happens in a lot of homes where you have a person who's slaving it, if I can use that word, for years on end. And one day they stand up for what is right. And they're told, how dare you, so ungrateful, you so... I've been grateful for the last 15 years. Hello? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. I hope we don't have, you know, some of the tyrants in our midst who actually make life such a misery for people who live with them. That's the case. This is the day when we can change, inshallah. We need to make life beautiful for those we're with so that Allah will make it beautiful for us in the dunya and the akhirah. Imagine if you make life easy for someone in this world, Allah says, we will make life easy for you here and in the hereafter. What if it's your own family? May Allah make us role models. Ameen.
Ameen. Jazakallahu khairan, Shaykh. We'll take a question from the brothers, inshallah. Brother, what is your name and what is your question for the Shaykh, inshallah?
So, so this is a big thing today, society, and... Oh, my name is Wasim. So this is a big thing in today's society, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate to. So Brother Musa touched earlier upon, if you see someone in a common place, whether it's a college, university, workplace, and you're interested, you said to get the folks involved, but even before that stage, to get to know the person in a good way, because you have to get to know the person and she has to get to know you, etc. How do you do so in a halal manner? Because I'm sure a big thing that people need to look at is limitations, and that's like some sort of framework on how to do that realistically in this day and age.
Jazakallah, Brother Handsome. Sorry, Brother Wasim. I just translated your name into English, mashallah. Okay. A good name, mashallah. Jazakallah khair, Habibi. I want to tell you that, you see, there is a difference. The Islamic teaching tells you to get to know someone with the assistance of your folks. The problem is our folks don't help. I think that's really an issue where our folks sometimes, they don't help us to get to know someone because they have their own ideas. So we're faced with a challenge where people start getting to know others with the idea that if I'm going to get to know them, and if it's okay, then I'll involve my family. So they have good intentions, but in the process of getting to know someone, the emotions run high. You've donated your heart without even knowing it's donated, gone. It's out of your own bosom and it's gone somewhere else. And by that time, you now want to go back to your family and tell them something, and you've actually already drowned, if you know what I mean. So in Islam, we're taught to get to know someone, yes, indeed. And you are allowed to get to know, you know, as much as you'd like to, prior to the marriage, on condition that you've involved the folks who are supposed to be involved. In the case of a sister, for example, someone respectable. I mean, I have advocated, and I have done it today and every other day when I've spoken about marriage, for parents to become involved and to try and take seriously what their children bring up to them. And so if someone says, listen, Dad, you know, there's a guy interested in me. He's really, are you interested in him? Well, yeah, I think so. I want to get to know him. Well, Dad, you know what? I think if it's not haram, you need to help, because people will be doing things behind your back. Wallahi, I want to swear by Allah that every other day I have an email of someone telling me that they are marrying someone they do not want to marry. They're in total and absolute love with someone else, but their parents are forcing them. And I'm thinking, we're living in the 21st century. How can we allow that as Muslimin? How does it reflect upon Islam and the Muslims? And then you want to complain that we have a divorce and so on. I have people who have told me, and hundreds of them, if not thousands, that my father has just forced me to get married and I don't want to marry. I don't have anyone in mind, but I don't want to marry this guy. How can we call ourselves Muslims who fear Allah? What representation are we providing for what we stand for? Subhanallah. People will think of Islam and Muslims as being backward, and so yet we're not. We're promoting the fulfillment of the rights of your own kids, your own children. So my brother, quickly getting back to what you were saying, Islam teaches us to involve before you get to know the person just on your own. The two of you are sitting, shaitan is the third, as we're taught. But if you involve someone, you know, you may have interactions with them, you have to interact with the opposite sex. That's something we need to know. Whether it's your mother, your sisters, a strange person, there will come a time in your life you have to interact even with someone who's a total stranger. That interaction, Islam doesn't say it shouldn't be there. It says it needs to be within that which is respectable and acceptable. That's it. I mean, I've met millions of people, women, a lot of them who are not related to me at all. For as long as it's respectable, within the limits, acceptable, we've greeted, we've helped, we've spoken to, we've tried, you know, wherever possible, we've helped. And the same applies to all of us. I mean, if you see someone on the street, for example, they need help, you as a Muslim should be the first one to rush to help them. You don't say, no, I'm not a mahram, I'm running away. And you wait for someone who's not even perhaps a Muslim or maybe an Islamophobe to come and laugh and do something that is nasty. May Allah protect us. So this is why we say, society, sometimes we need to understand the deen and what we're taught, rather than, you know, just doing what we think, which is not even a part of the deen. So sometimes, like I say, you have to interact with the opposite sex, you get to know them. There comes a point when, look, I need to involve someone here because I want to know a little bit more. So that would help. May Allah make it easy for us.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. We have a question here from a sister, may Allah bless her. She's mentioned that she got married to this brother. Her father approved of the marriage. Everything was fine. But because her father didn't like the brother, and he just approved of the brother just because, you know, the sister wanted to marry him. Now what the father is doing and the family are doing is they don't want to accept the son-in-law. They're saying, we don't really want to know him. You've married him, no problem. You live with him, but we don't want to know him. We don't want to welcome him into our home. What advice would you give in a situation like this, Sheikh?
I think the most serious advice I can give, because it's on the increase, this type of problem is happening a lot. My beloved parent, if you are a person who has just accepted for it and then you have turned away, you are failing your test with Allah. What if Allah turns away with you, turns away from you the same way you turned away from this child and the spouse on the day of judgment? And you're told you didn't want, you turned away, we're going to turn away from you. The hadith says, when you make life easy for someone, we're going to make life easy for you. When you make life difficult for someone, we're going to make it difficult for you in the dunya and the akhirah. So you need to know, if you did that to your own child and your own child-in-law, meaning whether it's a son-in-law, daughter-in-law, and you turned away from them, because of that, I promise you, you will taste the evil effect of your own deeds in your life before you die. And I can almost guarantee that. You will taste it before you die. Allah will show you the evil of your deed within your life somehow. And we've seen this happening because helpless people, the dua they make is answered by Allah way before everybody else. The hadith says, اتَّقِ دَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٍ. You need to fear and be scared of a supplication made against you by someone whom you have wronged. For indeed, there is no barrier between that supplication and Allah. So what I want to say, you fail your test. Why do that? Embrace the guy, give him a chance, let him prove himself. Perhaps he might turn out to be better than you and closer than you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet your action is proving that you have actually not put Allah before everyone else, but rather your own ego, your own pride. We need to set that aside. May Allah never let that happen to us. And whoever it is happening to, may Allah bless your parents and guide them and soften their hearts to be able to stop themselves from doing that. Barakallahu fi.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh, for answering that question. We'll go straight to the sisters, inshallah. Sister, what is your name and what is your question for the Sheikh?
Assalamu alaikum, my name is Hafsa Shaqawi. In regards to marriage, my question is, how should one go about seeking blessings for marriage by their parents when difference in skin color could potentially be an issue?
Subhanallah, my sister, it's a very interesting question because a lot of the times the child knows the parents better than anyone else. So you've got to actually try and convince them through means that they would be convinced by, because you've lived with them all your life. If not, what I have found helpful is to be able to very respectfully involve members of the family who are senior and looked up to by the parents to try and talk to them. The difficulty today is parents say no. And the reason why they're saying no, they're thinking of what will people say. I promise you, it's a big disease. What's my community going to say? What's my family going to say? What's everyone else going to say? And in the process, they don't allow their children to live a life. And the same people that they're worried about what they would say, when their children have to do something, they get it done. You know, I know of a case where there was a family that did not accept a brother because he was a revert. And they said, no way, he's revert. What an insult. Astaghfirullah. I told them, all the sahaba were reverts, by the way. All the sahaba were reverts. All of them, 100% of them were reverts. So what's the problem here? And they said, no, you know, my brother, he told me if this happens, our relationship is over. 3 years later, the child of this particular man married a non-Muslim, subhanallah, non-Muslim, and invited the entire family. And guess what? Everyone went, subhanallah. I don't want to comment about that. I want to say the double standards is, look, you didn't allow something and look at what's happened this side here. And then people started asking fatwas to say, is this allowed? Is that allowed? Big issue. Moral of the story is sometimes when you try to block something halal, what did I tell you earlier? In your life, Allah will show you something to prove to you that you just failed your test dismally. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. I know you might be asking, how can this happen? How can that happen? The only reason I'm citing it to you is, I'm citing it because, raising that example, to say, here is a sister asking us, how do we convince our parents? Some of the parents are not easy to convince. You know, and then like I said, you involve some of the family members who are senior. Sometimes you might want to involve an imam or someone whom your parents look up to. Unfortunately, sometimes there is no one they look up to. So in certain cases, we really cannot offer that type of help, the help of convincing. I have tried sometimes to, you know, assist, like I told you, in a lot of cases where we've spoken to parents. MashaAllah, some of them come through, some of them don't come through. Some of them have valid reasoning, some of them don't have valid reasoning. Some of them are ridiculous and you can taste the pride as soon as you just try and say, Salaamu Alaikum. And they just look at you, yeah. Yeah, you know, and you say, okay, guy, you know, this guy doesn't want to be helped at all. But you got to try because you know why? When you try, you have fulfilled your duty. And it's written against that person's name with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make it easy for all of us. Another very important point, make lots of dua. Call out to Allah, don't lose hope. But watch in which direction things are moving. So may Allah make it easy.
Jazakallah khairan mufti. We'll take a question from the brothers inshallah. Brother, what is your name and what is your question for the sheikh inshallah?
So so this is a big thing today, society, and my name is Wasim. So this is a big thing in today's society, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate to. So Brother Musa touched earlier upon, if you see someone in a common place, whether it's a college, university, workplace, and you're interested, you said to get the folks involved, but even before that stage, to get to know the person in a good way, because you have to get to know the person and she has to get to know you, etc. How do you do so in a halal manner? Because I'm sure a big thing that people need to look at is limitations, and that's like some sort of framework and how to do that realistically in this day and age.
Jazakallah, Brother Handsome. Sorry, Brother Wasim. I just translated your name into English, mashallah. Okay. A good name, mashallah. Jazakallah khair, Habibi. I want to tell you that, you see, there is a difference. The Islamic teaching tells you to get to know someone with the assistance of your folks. The problem is our folks don't help. I think that's really an issue where our folks sometimes, they don't help us to get to know someone because they have their own ideas. So we're faced with a challenge where people start getting to know others with the idea that if I'm going to get to know them, and if it's okay, then I'll involve my family. So they have good intentions, but in the process of getting to know someone, the emotions run high. You've donated your heart without even knowing it's donated, gone. It's out of your own bosom and it's gone somewhere else. And by that time, you now want to go back to your family and tell them something, and you've actually already drowned. If you know what I mean. So in Islam, we're taught to get to know someone. Yes, indeed. And you are allowed to get to know, you know, as much as you'd like to prior to the marriage, on condition that you've involved the folks who are supposed to be involved. In the case of a sister, for example, someone respectable. I mean, I have advocated, and I have done it today and every other day when I've spoken about marriage, for parents to become involved and to try and take seriously what their children bring up to them. And so if someone says, listen, Dad, you know, there's a guy interested in me. He's really, are you interested in him? Well, yeah, I think so. I want to get to know him. Well, Dad, you know what? I think if it's not haram, you need to help, because people will be doing things behind your back. Wallahi, I want to swear by Allah that every other day I have an email of someone telling me that they are marrying someone they do not want to marry. They're in total and absolute love with someone else, but their parents are forcing them. And I'm thinking, we're living in the 21st century. How can we allow that as Muslimin? How does it reflect upon Islam and the Muslims? And then you want to complain that we have a divorce and so on. I have people who have told me, and hundreds of them, if not thousands, that my father has just forced me to get married and I don't want to marry. I don't have anyone in mind, but I don't want to marry this guy. How can we call ourselves Muslims who fear Allah? What representation are we providing for what we stand for? Subhanallah. People will think of Islam and Muslims as being backward, and so yet we're not. We're promoting the fulfillment of the rights of your own kids, your own children. So my brother, quickly getting back to what you were saying, Islam teaches us to involve before you get to know the person just on your own. The two of you are sitting, shaitan is the third, as we're taught. But if you involve someone, you know, you may have interactions with them. You have to interact with the opposite sex. That's something we need to know. Whether it's your mother, your sisters, a strange person, there will come a time in your life you have to interact even with someone who's a total stranger. That interaction, Islam doesn't say it shouldn't be there. It says it needs to be within that which is respectable and acceptable. That's it. I mean, I've met millions of people, women, a lot of them who are not related to me at all. For as long as it's respectable, within the limits, acceptable, we've greeted, we've helped, we've spoken to, we've tried, you know, wherever possible, we've helped. And the same applies to all of us. I mean, if you see someone on the street, for example, they need help, you as a Muslim should be the first one to rush to help them. You don't say, no, I'm not a mahram, I'm running away. And you wait for someone who's not even perhaps a Muslim or maybe an Islamophobe to come and laugh and do something that is nasty. May Allah protect us. So this is why we say, society, sometimes we need to understand the deen and what we're taught, rather than, you know, just doing what we think, which is not even a part of the deen. So sometimes, like I say, you have to interact with the opposite sex, you get to know them. There comes a point when, look, I need to involve someone here because I want to know a little bit more. So that would help. May Allah make it easy for us.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. We have a question here from a sister, may Allah bless her. She's mentioned that she got married to this brother. Her father approved of the marriage. Everything was fine. But because her father didn't like the brother, and he just approved of the brother just because, you know, the sister wanted to marry him. Now what the father is doing and the family are doing is they don't want to accept the son-in-law. They're saying, we don't really want to know him. You've married him, no problem. You live with him, but we don't want to know him. We don't want to welcome him into our home. What advice would you give in a situation like this, Sheikh?
I think the most serious advice I can give, because it's on the increase, this type of problem is happening a lot. My beloved parent, if you are a person who has just accepted for it and then you have turned away, you are failing your test with Allah. What if Allah turns away with you, turns away from you the same way you turned away from this child and the spouse on the day of judgment? And you're told you turned away, we're going to turn away from you. The hadith says, when you make life easy for someone, we're going to make life easy for you. When you make life difficult for someone, we're going to make it difficult for you in the dunya and the akhirah. So you need to know, if you did that to your own child and your own child-in-law, meaning whether it's a son-in-law, daughter-in-law, and you turned away from them, because of that, I promise you, you will taste the evil effect of your own deeds in your life before you die. And I can almost guarantee that. You will taste it before you die. Allah will show you the evil of your deed within your life somehow. And we've seen this happening because helpless people, the dua they make is answered by Allah way before everybody else. The hadith says, اتَّقِ دَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٍ. You need to fear and be scared of a supplication made against you by someone whom you have wronged. For indeed there is no barrier between that supplication and Allah. So what I want to say, you fail your test. Why do that? Embrace the guy, give him a chance, let him prove himself. Perhaps he might turn out to be better than you and closer than you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet your action is proving that you have actually not put Allah before everyone else, but rather your own ego, your own pride. We need to set that aside. May Allah never let that happen to us. And whoever it is happening to, may Allah bless your parents and guide them and soften their hearts to be able to stop themselves from doing that. Barakallahu fiqh.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh, for answering that question. We'll go straight to the sisters, inshallah. Sister, what is your name and what is your question for the Sheikh?
Assalamu alaikum, my name is Hafsa Shukawi. In regards to marriage, my question is, how should one go about seeking blessings for marriage by their parents when difference in skin color could potentially be an issue?
Subhanallah, my sister, it's a very interesting question because a lot of the times the child knows the parents better than anyone else. So you've got to actually try and convince them through means that they would be convinced by, because you've lived with them all your life. If not, what I have found helpful is to be able to very respectfully involve members of the family who are senior and looked up to by the parents to try and talk to them. The difficulty today is parents say no. And the reason why they're saying no, they're thinking of what will people say. I promise you, it's a big disease. What's my community going to say? What's my family going to say? What's everyone else going to say? And in the process, they don't allow their children to live a life. And the same people that they're worried about what they would say, when their children have to do something, they get it done. You know, I know of a case where there was a family that did not accept a brother because he was a revert. And they said, no ways, revert, what an insult. Astaghfirullah. I told them, all the Sahaba were reverts, by the way. All the Sahaba were reverts. All of them, 100% of them were reverts. So what's the problem here? And they said, no, you know, my brother, he told me if this happens, our relationship is over. 3 years later, the child of this particular man married a non-Muslim, subhanallah, non-Muslim, and invited the entire family. And guess what? Everyone went, subhanallah. I don't want to comment about that. I want to say the double standards is, look, you didn't allow something and look at what's happened this side here. And then people started asking fatwas to say, is this allowed? Is that allowed? Big issue. Moral of the story is, sometimes when you try to block something halal, what did I tell you earlier? In your life, Allah will show you something to prove to you that you just failed your test dismally. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. I know you might be asking, how can this happen? How can that happen? The only reason I'm citing it to you is, I'm citing it because, raising that example to say, here is a sister asking us, how do we convince our parents? Some of the parents are not easy to convince. You know, and then like I said, you involve some of the family members who are senior. Sometimes you might want to involve an imam or someone whom your parents look up to. Unfortunately, sometimes there is no one they look up to. So in certain cases, we really cannot offer that type of help, the help of convincing. I have tried sometimes to, you know, assist, like I told you, in a lot of cases where we've spoken to parents. MashaAllah, some of them come through, some of them don't come through. Some of them have valid reasoning, some of them don't have valid reasoning. Some of them are ridiculous and you can taste the pride as soon as you just try and say, Salaamu Alaikum. And they just look at you, yeah. Yeah, you know. And you say, okay guy, you know, this guy doesn't want to be helped at all. But you got to try, because you know why? When you try, you have fulfilled your duty. And it's written against that person's name with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make it easy for all of us. Another very important point. make lots of dua. Call out to Allah, don't lose hope. But watch in which direction things are moving. So may Allah make it easy.
Jazakallah khairan, Mufti. We'll take another question from the sisters, inshallah. So sister, what is your name and what is your question for the Sheikh today, inshallah?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Najiba. I have a question. We often hear when a proposal comes that, mashallah, the sister wears hijab and jilbab, she is practicing. Or the brother has beard, wears thobe, he is practicing. Does it define wearing jilbab or hijab or having beard? Does it define practicing? So could you please enlighten us with the real definition of a practicing Muslim? Jazakallah.
Jazakumullah khair, and I will give you an answer that inshallah you will be satisfied with by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we've tackled this issue before practically. Being a practicing brother or a sister should refer to two things, the inward and the outward. So some have managed to actually only deal with one of them, and some have managed to deal with both. And every one of us is trying to become better and improve where our weaknesses are. So when you see someone outwardly, it does not necessarily mean that that person is practicing, but it means they are practicing outwardly. Let's be honest. They're practicing outwardly. So we would like to hope that the inside is a reflection of the outside. Unfortunately, it's not always the case. So don't be fooled. So while I'm not belittling the outward practicing of a brother or a sister, I have to warn one and all, including myself, that that is not the only mark to look at, but rather there needs to be other factors that would actually make you make your mind up regarding marriage, for example. And at times you have a person who's struggling a little bit with their outward practicing, but you have an interaction with them that proves to you that they have some beautiful qualities in them that show that internally they are really God-fearing people, but they're struggling with their outward practicing. It does happen, and it happens a lot, especially where parents are very strict. Sometimes people are outwardly practicing due to the strictness of their parents and not necessarily because they themselves would like to practice. So sometimes you have a person from a modern home. No one's putting any pressure on them. None of the people in the home, you know, are even talking about dress or anything else. And that person makes sure they fulfill their salah, they make sure, but the way they were brought up, perhaps they didn't give so much of importance to that which was outward. So I'm not saying outward appearance and all that is not important, but I am saying you've got to give credit to this person who actually grew up in an environment where they were lovely, honest, upright individuals. They just need a little bit of perhaps movement this way, that way, and who doesn't? Who doesn't need? We all need that movement, inshallah. So it's very, very tricky. To answer your question, the outward appearance is not only what you should be considering, because it does not depict anything besides outward practicing. It does not confirm your inner. The inside actually needs to be confirmed through other means. Wallahu a'lam.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. We have our brother here, mashallah. Akhi, if we can get your name and your question for the Sheikh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. I am Karamo Cham. My question today is based on this. Some of us came from somewhere else, and there are lots of sisters who also are in the same situation. They don't have family here, nor do they have close friends. And we're talking about nikah here. Can we throw light on this secret marriage? Can we have nikah where it's only me and her and no one else? Because this is might be based on personal question. Thank you very much.
My brother, jazakallah khair. I really, my heart goes out to those who are perhaps from abroad. They're here alone and they don't know, perhaps people are not ready to marry them. They don't know much about them, etc. It really is difficult. But the question about secret marriages, I need to tell you that before I get to that, Someone had asked me a question. We were talking about it earlier backstage. That young people, it's becoming very common, they say, we did our nikah. And you ask them, well, how was it done? They say, well, he put a mahar in front of me and he asked me if I would be his wife and I said, yes, I would. I said, and who was the witness? So the answer is the greatest witness of them all. So who is that? He says, قُلْ كَفَى بِاللَّهِ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكُمْ شَهِيدًا. Isn't Allah sufficient as a witness between you and I? So Allah was the witness and Allah witnessed it. Okay, don't let the devil make you think that that's a nikah. That's actually invalid. There is no way in the Quran or the Sunnah that a marriage can be officiated without proper human being witnesses. There needs to be human beings. Allah will witness the witnessing of the human beings and He has witnessed it. But He has asked you to have human beings as well to bear that witness. So if you have the minimum witness of two males, although technically the marriage is done, when we speak about not going beyond that, like I have heard scholars talk about it in my circles, and they say, if you do a nikah properly, it can never be a secret because the minimum announcement is the witnesses. It was announced to them. They saw it. But what you are meaning to me is you did the nikah correctly, like you have the ijab, the qabul, the witnesses, the mahar, you know, the proposal, the acceptance, and the wali may be there as well, but no one else knows about it. Well, I can tell you something from a correctness point of view for the nikah. If the wali is involved, the witnesses are involved, the mahar is there, the proposal is there, the acceptance is there, technically it may be a valid nikah, but from a social perspective, it wouldn't be a wise thing to do. The reason is the whole idea of getting married is so that people can now know this relationship is halal. And now everyone's going to look at you, wow, you see, they don't even know if it's halal or not. You know, they obviously when we see couples, we would immediately presume that they're married. That's what we're taught. But you're going to be ducking, diving, hiding. And I tell the sisters, a lot of the times when you're ready to have a secret without anyone knowing, you're heavily abused thereafter without you being able to do anything in a lot of cases. And the reason is sometimes I know of someone who says, listen, you know what, you marry me and it's fine. I will, you know, you can just see me once a week, once a month, once every 6 months. And that's it. It's fine. I don't really need anything more than that. You know, I promise you a week passes, 2 weeks passes and you start thinking, gosh, I've got a husband, but I don't even see him. And now the pressure comes and it starts mounting. And I tell you what. You start thinking, no, I need to see him more often. You start arguing because you want what you've agreed. When you live it, you realize you were foolish. When you start living the reality, you start realizing, you know what, I was foolish. I'm just being used. That's what's happening. I'm just being abused. That's what's happening. So you need to understand, you need to weigh the pros and cons correctly. I would not get involved in something of that nature as far as possible. Try and keep it open. You know, be brave enough to say, let the world know. So what? And sometimes circumstances might make us not want to tell everyone, but we need to at least announce it within a specific circle. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy. Once again, I reach out to all those who are from, you know, other countries. Perhaps you might not have people around you. May Allah make it easy for you to marry. And, you know, I always like to encourage the imams of the masjid to say, please look out for those brothers and sisters who need to get married and try and hook them up with someone who perhaps they could also have as a spouse. Wallahu a'lam.
Jazakallahu khairan, Mufti. We're going to take our final question, inshallah, from one sister. I do apologize to everyone that has been queuing up. We know that you have tried to ask your questions. But unfortunately, if we were to cater for everyone's questions, we would be here all night and maybe more than that. So we'll take our last question from the sister standing there. Sister, what's your name and what's your question for the Sheikh today, inshallah?
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Fumida. Basically, I'm looking to get married, okay? So I've done a fiqh course in marriage. And my ustad, he was saying to the brothers, men don't want to marry career-minded women. And to me, it seems a bit like you're demotivating those women, because how do you know what the intention of those women are? For example, I want to be a psychologist because I know that anxiety and depression is very common in the Muslim community, and only Allah knows my intention. Now, having brothers say that basically, oh no, you working is not good for my religion and not good for my, you know, children. What's wrong with that? I don't get it. What's wrong with career-minded women?
MashaAllah. Jazakumullah khair. My sister, I think the scholar who might have said that is probably speaking about himself, because I know of many brothers who are sitting right here, right now, whose wives are well within their careers and probably even supporting them, and they share the burden and the load and so on. So I don't think we can say blanket that, you know, brothers do not like women with a career, but maybe we can say there are brothers who may not like, I mean, it's their liking, their preference, and there are brothers who do and who don't mind, for example. And I think as the years are passing, more and more people are beginning to understand that, you know, if your spouse and yourself, if you have to work within a good environment that is acceptable to both of you, it might even help in other ways. Sometimes there is a lot of boredom that occurs if a woman is just to sit doing nothing. It could help in that way. And another thing is, you could assist also with the burden of the livelihood and the living, because it's not cheap anymore. So I don't think it's right for someone to just issue a statement on behalf of all the males to say that they prefer this and they prefer that. Because like I said earlier, men prefer all different things. What I prefer, someone else might not. And what someone else prefers, you know, I might not. And that's what makes the world a lovely place, because Allah's made us all different. We will fit in somewhere by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I hope that answers your question. You know, we the men who are here, I think we don't really agree with a blanket ruling to just paint every one of us with that brush. I mean, Brother Musa's nodding his head here. A few of the others here are also nodding their heads. They are prepared to marry a woman who has a career. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ease. May Allah bless us all. Obviously, if the career, like, you know, sometimes you have a job, male or female, if your spouse is not comfortable with the job you have, I think the two of you can discuss it, and maybe you want to make adjustments in order to give preference to your marriage over your you know, the exact place where you might be working. Because sometimes it does happen, even with the brothers. The wife is not comfortable because of what goes on at your workplace or something. You need to talk about it, discuss it, and maybe make realistic changes if needed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. I've really enjoyed myself. It's really been a very, very long day. But I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving me the opportunity to interact with you guys. And I still have a few of those whom I've promised, inshallah, to sign their books. I will do that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you ease. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.